This is podtech.net, and I'm Kip Meekum. Today here on Utah Voices, we are talking with President and CEO of the Utah Technology Council, Richard Nelson. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning.
It's nice to visit with you today. Give us a little background about yourself and your role at the Utah Technology Council.
I've been the president and CEO of the Information Technology Association for 6.5 years prior to the merger of UITA, the Utah Information Technology Association, with ULISA, Utah Life Science Association.
Tell us a little bit about that that technology landscape in Utah. You have an information technology business ecosystem. You have a life sciences ecosystem. Talk about those and kind of how the two of them maybe came together.
Utah has a spectacular community of technology companies, over 3,200 IT companies and over 500 life science companies. And as we worked with both of these sectors, we just found it would be much to the benefit of both sets of executives to bolt the two together. And that's really what caused the recent merger, which created the Utah Technology Council.
So you get some economies of scale out of having the two organizations.
Right. And also to give a more of a voice to both when we talk about technology. There's clearly been a convergence of technology over the last few years. And as we deal with serious issues that improve our business environment here locally and also nationally, we just found that we needed to embrace the future by bringing the life science executives into this new organization.
Would it be fair to say that that merger, pooling of interests, I guess, is not in the business term, but just in the strategy term, is reflected? My observation would be, if you look at the portfolios of some of the Utah venture capital firms, there is that mix of information technology companies, life science companies, Vspring Capital in particular. If you look at their portfolio, I think there's representation from both sides of those interests in their portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. The I think it's very underappreciated and unknown that we have such a vibrant IT and life science community. Recently, we put out an industry report, which is on our website, which takes a hard look at how Utah is doing in these 50 sectors, these 50 NAIC codes, versus other states in the region versus the United States. And we found that, first of all, we grew in our sector, life science and IT, by over 7% in number of companies year over year through September 05. And then if you fast forward that and take a look at how other states are doing in the same community as measured by these 50 NAIC codes put out by the Department of Labor, you see that in a comparable period of time through 2004, we grew by 8.4% in number of companies. The next highest in the region was Colorado, which grew 0.5%, and the other comparables that we tracked, Arizona, Oregon, California, and Washington, all lost numbers of companies in this critical IT and life science sector, to the tune of Washington losing 7% of the number of companies that they have. They call them establishments. You also look at the U.S. national numbers, and overall, the sector was down 1% nationally. So certainly in the fast-growing region that we're in, we're really at the top of that region. We are so underappreciated as a sector, and this represents over 60,000 of the highest-paying jobs in our state of Utah.
Sounds like a good reason for existence for not only UTC, but for this podcast.
Absolutely.
Getting the word out.
Absolutely.
I think we are undermarketed. Richard, talk for a moment about what UTC provides for Utah technology and life science businesses in terms of services or events or, you know, just those kinds of things. And maybe share a success story or two about UTC's interaction with the business community.
I'd love to. It's the premier professional organization for Utah's 3,700 technology companies. The Utah Technology Council combines the power of Utah's IT and life science industries to help build Utah's economy by strengthening the partnership between industry, government, and education. The UTC is building the technology community by developing management talent, increasing networking opportunities for better community and industry relationships, and improving the business environment. For example, giving access to capital and improving the workforce by adding rigor to high schools. Now, let me give you a couple of examples.
Okay.
4 years ago, there was so much pain in the IT sector, we were losing hundreds of companies. That's why it's so impressive we have 3,200 surviving companies. To make it through that very difficult period, to be a survivor, made these companies much more sustainable and now much more vibrant in growing the number of employees they have and reaching out to global markets. As a result of this pain, which was largely caused by lack of capital, a group of 150 CEOs and senior execs got together under the UETA banner and passed a very complex piece of legislation in the 2002 legislative session. And it created a $100 million fund of funds, which is now operational. By the end of the year, there will be a portfolio of funds that this $100 million has been investing in. Most importantly, it's starting to attract serious additional incremental capital to the state that wasn't here before. Now, that's an important infrastructure shift that was created by our Technology Council. Another one, in the 2006 session, which we just completed, the Utah Technology Council, which was then both the IT and life science sectors, embraced a technology initiative called USTAR, an economic development initiative, which is an initiative that creates next generation economic development. And when I say that, it's hundreds of millions of dollars that has been committed over a long period of time, overwhelmingly by our legislature, and it's the central theme of an outstanding Governor Huntsman's focus on technology and bringing that technology out of our two research universities to create 123,000 high-paying jobs and 400 new companies over the next three decades. The Utah Technology Council played a major role in that with the Chamber of Commerce and EDCU Utah, and will continue to play an integral benchmarking role with the new USTAR Board of Trustees to ensure that we get the results that we promised. Those are a couple of good examples.
Those are some very good success stories.
Let me give you just one other that we're on the front end of. The workforce has really tightened in our market.
We're at well past full employment in the state, from right. what I understand, closing in on 3%.
And the product that our high schools and colleges and universities are producing isn't the product that our sector
is consuming.
It's not meeting the needs. An initiative that has been long considered by the State Board of Education for years, still hasn't passed, is increasing rigor in high schools, i.e. raising the requirements of science and math and language arts, or English, by 1 year in each one of those three education buckets. There has been overwhelming opposition against this. Now, why wouldn't all employers and all educators embrace this? Again, this is not just a college track, which would be self-serving for our council and our companies, which are primarily a college track driven group of employers. But it's really to raise the bar in across the board, whether you're a line worker at many, many of the companies we have in Utah, to a PhD in some of our more technology-rich companies by having greater rigor in high schools.
I think it clearly inures to global competitiveness.
Absolutely.
Our youth face a very unique competitive landscape compared to, you know, the days when you or myself were right. in this, and more like the landscape that we face now.
But it's puzzling. Why wouldn't employers or groups of employers embrace this?
Get behind it.
I'm puzzled that our technology council is the only organization that has formally endorsed the 433 proposal as currently being considered by the State Board of Education. And we'll have its third vote on August 4th after years of deliberation. We have weighed in with every member of that board. We will continue to be involved with the curriculum committee and the board as a constructive force. We have invited the state superintendent of schools, Patty Harrington, to be on our board. We're involved with a serious dialogue on education with the two research university presidents and the superintendent of schools so that we can be a force for change to better prepare high school students and college students for the workforce.
Sounds like a call to action.
That's the reason we exist.
Talk about, for a moment, Richard, we talked about this combination of the life sciences and the information technologies communities. Let's talk marketing here for a minute. You've had to rebrand. Tell me about rebranding from UEDA to UTC and what that challenges that has placed before you and opportunities, frankly.
After creating a very strong brand by doing a lot of important work in building the community via UEDA, it continues to be a challenge. But I'm a little surprised that we've been so accepted as this new UTC, this new Utah Technology Council. And the word is out there. Again, we have great executives that help us with this. And we're confident that this is not a stumbling block because really, as I shared earlier, the power of the IT industry and the life science industry is such a stellar combination. Both sets of executives that we represent will gain from working with the other sector.
So in this combination, what are the great plans for the UTC moving forward? What can we look for happening to the betterment of the business, the economic, and the educational climate for the state?
As I shared with you, this is a spectacular industry, and they deserve the best. And so one way of communicating that is a grand annual celebration. On October 27th, we'll have our 8th annual Hall of Fame celebration. We have two outstanding inductees, and to ensure that the message gets out under the new Utah Technology Council banner, we've gone out to a dream team of top global technology CEOs to invite one, right at the top, to this celebration. And Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, arguably the most successful technology CEO in the world, has committed to come.
And oh, that's very exciting.
It's an incredible opportunity for our community. There's no question it'll be a sellout. And it helps us celebrate the great things that are going on in this fast-growing community of technology execs that we are most fortunate in representing. I love doing this. But it's because we have great change-oriented, market-driven execs that are pushing innovation and are pushing markets globally, and are having a lot of success. And so it's a great community to work with and really a privilege to represent them.
Well, being a multi-year participant in UEDA from a professional standpoint in my career, I have always been impressed with the draw that UEDA and now UTC has had in terms of bringing in very dynamic individuals from, as you said, a global landscape. I recall Clayton Christensen coming in, and I've always been fascinated by his work, you know, literally created a whole new way to view business and how companies succeed and fail in it. I believe who are some of the other past greats that have graced UTC with their presence?
If you use the celebration, last year we had the new CEO of HP, Mark Hurd,
yes,
was the keynote. The two great inductees, Dr. Warner and also Dr. Drew Major, and both are stellar examples of changing global markets because of their Utah ties and their drive to make these things happen. A prior year was Kevin Rollins, the new CEO of Dell. We have great plans for the future. Where do we go after having Steve Ballmer? I'm sure we'll continue the momentum. Clay Christensen is a classic. It was an experience, as we call it, to have Clay Christensen come and share his incredible insights on the impacts that innovation is having in global markets. He's such a well received, globally sought after executive. He's also committed to do a future event or two, and I'm sure we'll have another experience or two with him. A couple of months ago, we had a wonderful experience with the longtime dean of the Harvard Business School,
Kim Clark,
who has just moved to this region as the president of BYU Idaho. And this is his first opportunity to reach out to the broad technology and business community. It was, again, a sellout audience. Wish we'd had a larger hotel ballroom to accommodate him, but that's the example of these treasures that have these ties to Utah that are willing to help us build this technology community.
Richard, if you had the opportunity, this is our standard last question, if you had the opportunity to have lunch today with any three people alive in the world, who would they be and why?
I'm going to break your rule, and I'm going to invite three authors to the first lunch. And it's going to be an all-afternoon lunch. And it's going to be Clay Christensen, because I have just such an enormous regard for Clay Christensen at Harvard. The other two change agents are Jim Collins of Good to Great and Thomas Friedman of The World is Flat. What a conversation. I mean, that may be an all-day event. To have those three that have such incredible insights and have had such an impact on the technology community and the broader business community. So that's kind of a combination, and would be something I probably wouldn't be able to sleep before.
I think that would be a fascinating lunch.
Joining, and I'm sure I'd do a lot of preparation to get their insights and to cause me to shift even more than just reading their books. The second is Bill Gates, not just because of the innovation, it's because of the philanthropy of Bill Gates. Here he's had an enormous impact on all of our lives through his innovation at Microsoft and his drive in markets. But it's the insights in giving away his fortune along with Warren Buffett. That's got to be another day conversation. I don't think it's going to be a lunch conversation. Love to hear what his plans are with the Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation and how he's driving change with serious funding. Certainly, that ties to our upcoming Hall of Fame presenter of Steve Ballmer. And thrilled about having Steve Ballmer coming and spending an evening with him. The third is driving change in the world for good is Gordon B. Hinckley. And a man that's in his mid-90s that has such insights and for good and is so inclusive and is so well-respected worldwide. And his energy to continue to drive that, I would love to have a conversation with Gordon B. Hinckley.
Three good answers. Technically five, but we'll let you get by with that. CEOs are used to kind of bending the rules, we're finding on this podcast.
Yeah, you gave me the mic and I just ran with
it. Well, there you have it. Richard, where can the listeners go to learn more about the Utah Technology Council?
UtahTechCouncil.org. We'd welcome them. There's a lot of great information. We have an industry portal with live conversations that we've had from Clay Christensen and others. So,
we've been speaking today with Richard Nelson, President and CEO of the Utah Technology Council. Again, Richard, thanks for being with us today on the podcast.
Thank you.